It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Well, often, Paul, you give us the scoop, and sometimes you are the scoop, but thanks again for joining us on this final Friday of Football Fridays on FM Talk 106.5. We appreciate it a lot, man, all season long.
It's been a great season. Not really much going on all year, so I'm glad we could gather every single Friday morning to educate the great state of the great citizens of the great. Oh, I don't have to say that anymore. Anyway, no. Alabama.
It has given us a fantastic storyline to run alongside the football season, as we've talked to you every week. So, at the very least, thanks for that. But
What was it? The crux of the decision not to run for the Senate, to stay in SEC talk rather than do that? Can I boil it down to John in St. Louis? Was he the one caller that kept you pining for the show?
Yeah, I frankly thought that as screwed up as Congress is, my help was needed far more in trying to straighten college football out. So, I mean, and to be honest, which of course all politicians are, Lane Kiffin was the tipping point. I saw how disingenuous he was, and I couldn't be the same person, so I had to stay where I am.
Well, I want to say that storyline came to an end, but with Kiffin, it never really has. He, of course, ends up at LSU. He won't be coaching Ole Miss in the playoff, which it looks like they're going to be in after those last CFP rankings.
Yeah, they're in.
And you've already said probably a million plus words on it just in the last couple of days, Paul, but what's your final thoughts here as he's chosen LSU?
Well, I think it's a remarkable moment in time in college football where a coach would abandon his team after its greatest accomplishment in 60 years. But you say, how could that happen? Well, we're talking about Lane Kiffin here, who there are no rules, there are no boundaries. He keeps making it up as he goes along. And one thing that's always sure about Lane Kiffin, whatever house he built, he manages to burn down on the way out of town.
He does, and it's almost like LSU fans, just hang on for a couple of years. Your time to hate the hell out of Lane Kiffin is coming. It's not now, but it's on the way.
Yeah, I mean, the fiercest arguments at the end of a bar in the future will be between Ole Miss fans and Tennessee fans, and which fan base hates Lane Kiffin the most.
Yeah. That's a lot of hate the other day I saw at the airport.
At the airport, they were throwing up the middle fingers, but that's nothing new for Kiffin on an airport tarmac. But, you know, as I was watching Ole Miss fans discuss this and whether he'd leave or not, so many of them were saying, well, now's the time anyway, because with the way we have this program running now, we can get any coach we want. They end up with Pete Golding. Right? Mm. Is he going to be a winner? Is he the slam dunk hire that Ole Miss fans would have liked after Kiffin leaves?
I'm not even sure there's some average 4A high schools in Alabama that would have hired Pete Golden as the head coach. So therein lies your answer. That was perhaps the biggest surprise of the week, that Ole Miss decided, why waste the money on going out and hiring a coach? He's probably going to get fired anyway. So let's just elevate Pete Golden. A year from now, we can fire him and start all over again.
Kind of feels that way, a little bit like what happened down the road in Starkville, too. And as far as Mississippi, I wanted to bring this up real quick. We could talk about Ole Miss, how you think they'll do without Kiffin on campus. But what do you think about Auburn's hire? I'm not opposed to it. Dalton, you know a little bit more about Coach Golish than I do.
Well, yeah, as a Tennessee fan, watching Golish do his work with that Malik Hooker offense back in Tennessee, or Hendon Hooker, I'm sorry, I always say Malik. Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyatt and Cedric Tillman, I mean, after that, Tennessee's offense hasn't looked the same, but I don't know whether to attribute that
personnel
to the quarterbacks or what it may be. I do know Golish has quite the offensive scheme. I guess it's the rest of the part of being an SEC coach we don't know about.
Yeah, I think he looks the part and he sounds the part, quite frankly.
Yeah, he does.
I like what I heard. I think it's a good hire. Not the one. Nobody got the guy they really thought they were going to get, other than maybe LSU. But ultimately, they did pretty well there. I mean, Summerall was the favored nation guy, but he didn't like what was going on. But I mean, winning the press conference doesn't really matter a lot, but this guy nailed the press conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really did. Let's talk a little bit about those games from last week, rivalry week, and really some great ones. And why not start with the Iron Bowl, even though it was kind of the last of the weekend? Had me enthralled from the very beginning to the very end. Auburn put up such a heck of a fight. I hated seeing Cam Coleman go down the way he did and losing the ball there at the end. But if I were an Auburn fan, I know it's tough to handle with the loss, but I really thought they put up a heck of an effort.
Yeah, it unfortunately, the game just got overshadowed by everything that happened afterwards. But it was just so typical of every Auburn game this year that they just came up short. But Auburn came out of it okay. Alabama ended up getting credit for some reason. I have no idea, how the committee really liked what they saw. So don't tell the committee that Auburn lost to Kentucky in the same stadium 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, for Auburn fans, you cannot, I don't know. I mean, you can't ask that fan base to feel good about their team after another excruciating loss. You know, I mean, you can only take so much in one season.
Yeah, and it was not as bad as the last two Iron Bowls in Jordan-Hare Stadium. So what it basically did is cost DJ Durkin any chance of getting the head coaching position, which he may or may not have gotten anyway. He got the second best job. He's a coordinator. Alabama, Kalen DeBoer got a big win. Had he lost that game, he might have been at Penn State today. So I think it all works out pretty well.
Instead, Penn State can't find anyone, which is another story. But with the CFP rankings that came out, they moved Texas up quite a bit after that necessary but good win over Texas A&M. And I know Texas beat Vanderbilt earlier in the year, but you look at Vanderbilt these last 3 weeks, especially with the second half that Pavia had against Tennessee, where he just was dominant, just as he's been for the last month. I know he's putting letters out to Trump asking for an executive order to get the Commodores in the playoff, but Texas moves ahead of them. They have the head-to-head win, but they have 3 losses compared to Vanderbilt's 2 losses.
Yeah.
What'd you make of that kind of ranking? It doesn't look like Vanderbilt's going to be able to get in.
Yeah, they're not. And by the way, I've already gone to the president in case Alabama loses Saturday.
You did, so yes.
I beat Pavia to the punch. And Alabama is a little more red than even Tennessee, so I'm going to win that one. It's too bad, but Vanderbilt played two reasonably decent names in non-conference games. But they got no credit for either one because both teams were terrible. So ultimately, they lost the 2 games they needed to win. They needed to beat either Alabama or Texas, and they couldn't do it. So, beating Tennessee's nice, but Tennessee's, a 4-loss team now?
Yeah.
That really doesn't do you much good.
Do you think he did enough, certainly, to get to New York, but could Pavia be the Heisman winner after these last 3 or 4 games?
I would be surprised. I mean, he'd probably get my vote, but I think the fact that Sam and Mendoza are playing in theory the biggest game of the year, it doesn't feel like it to me, but it is, a 1-versus-2 matchup. I just don't think unless they both are just pedestrian and terrible, which is hard to imagine, I don't think Pavia can get enough votes to win.
So you say your Heisman vote will go to Pavia?
At the moment. Now, being a politician like I have for the last 3 months, it can be bought.
Pavia family, they might not have had the money to buy it off earlier, but by now they should, unless they've spent it all on bail money. Right?
And Dalton called this one. The Pavia Mafia was coming into town to Vandy, and he told me last week, he said, one of them's going to get arrested before the game. I think it happened.
It did happen in the game. Yeah, one of the Pavia brothers put in handcuffs. So we'll look forward to that at whatever bowl game they end up in later this year. All right, so conference championship week this week, Alabama and Georgia. First time they've played, right? No, they play every year in Atlanta. What do you expect this weekend?
I don't know why. I said Sunday I thought Alabama would win. Of course, that's when I was still a candidate for the Senate, so I was just saying that to my – but all kidding aside, I think you have to go with Alabama every time they play Georgia. And everybody knows the record, but how many – it just that doesn't make sense to go with Kirby Smart against Alabama. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. I mean, take it from a Georgia guy here. Georgia, is there an Alabama thing there? Seems like there is to me. And Smart is a great coach. They're a very good team. They've improved a lot this season, but I could not blame anybody. And I think at this point, Georgia's 2.5 or 3.5 point favorite, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty insignificant line. Yeah. I think this game will be determined by injuries. So there's already been a number to both schools. I mean, Georgia lost at center, which is a big deal.
Yep.
The thing I hate about the SEC game is that even by winning, you often lose. Last year, Georgia lost Carson Beck. 2 years ago, Alabama lost its two receivers. So, or a couple of years maybe beyond that, but it always seems to be a casualty because it's such a brutal game. You have the two best teams, and you're playing now the 13th game, and that's really what I don't like about this game, as much of a spectacle as it is.
And neither offense lighting the field on fire right now. The Georgia Tech game was kind of overlooked, yeah. But Dan, you watched the Georgia offense wasn't able to do anything.
Yeah, they talk about Gunnar Stockman as this great outdoorsman, Paul, and I told Dalton that, yeah, he played like he'd just fallen out of a tree stand and hit every limb on the way down. He had I love the kid. He had a terrible game against Georgia Tech. It was almost like he was playing with amnesia. He forgot everything.
Yeah, hard to explain. I think it was interesting once the center went out, he did seem lost.
Yeah.
That center's still going to be out Saturday, Roll Tide.
Thank you, Paul.
There you go.
Great insight every single week here, and we appreciate you coming on for Football Fridays with Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank, and we'll do this again next year. How's that sound?
I can't wait. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
There you go, Paul Feinbaum. He's going to stick in there with the SEC Network. Is the SEC Network and ESPN going to stay side by side with Paul? That's what he was kind of...
Yeah, good question.
Referring there as we...
How are the feelings?
Yeah, anybody got any hurt feelings in Bristol, Connecticut? I don't know. And it wasn't so much his possible run, but we made that announcement.
Yeah, we'll do some more talk coming up. Mobile Mornings, get on the line, 251-343-0106 as we open up the text lines on this Friday. And what do you think about those conference championship games? Don't forget, get your picks in for the Pick'em Pool. We're coming to the end this week. More Mobile Mornings on the way next.
Again, y'all. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 824 on Mobile Mornings. A special guest in studio we will be talking to here real soon. Make sure you know who he is and what we're going to be talking about on the way. You can prepare, maybe send us some questions on the text line. We'll do all that beginning a little after 8:30, but we'll introduce him sooner than that. President Donald Trump has ordered that American flags across the nation and on U.S. territory around the globe be flown at half staff in honor of fallen National Guardswoman Sarah Beckstrom, who was callously shot blocks away from the White House on Thanksgiving Eve. Trump issued the proclamation Thursday morning, and shortly after, the flags on the White House grounds were lowered to half staff. This is Trump on Sarah.
Sarah is gone. She passed away. She's looking down on us now, and she loves her parents, and they loved her. They were, somebody said, how are they doing? I said, the world is devastated. They're devastated. The rest of their lives are going to be devastated. She was an incredible person.
He also updated reporters on National Guardsman Andrew Wolf's condition, stating that he is fighting for his life. Of course, he was the other National Guardsman that was shot that afternoon.
I spoke to his mother. Sir, he's going to be okay. I'm telling you, no doctor thought that. Nobody thought that. He was hitting bad places, and she was, like, so positive. It was incredible. And it's possibly right, Pam, right? Possibly right. Boy, it would be amazing. If he lives, it would be amazing. A miracle, actually.
Ramon Lakhanwal was charged on Tuesday with first-degree murder, assault, and intent to kill, and illegal possession of a firearm. That's per the Associated Press. One other quick story here. The New York Post reports that AT&T, the Dallas-based telecom company with over 110,000 employees in the U.S., has announced its decision to eliminate its DEI policies. This move comes in response to pressure from FCC Chairman Brendan Carr, who has made it clear that the companies will not be approved for crucial FCC licenses until they axe policies that discriminate on topics like race, gender, and sexual orientation. More news on the way. Also, a conversation with my friend Scott Tindall from, from a lot of different entities around Mobile. How you been?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Of course, also, you've got a show here every Tuesday night. Beyond the Blockchain?
Beyond the Blockchain.
So what we're going to do, often you'll send me articles about that are AI related. And at this point, you know, unless you're completely asleep at the wheel, you may not realize that, nearly everything going on around us, a lot of it has got at least a touch of AI to it, right?
It does, yeah. It's seeping in through all different aspects of our lives. And for a lot of people, it's in the background. And then some of us, it's right up front. But it's only going to increase.
You're involved in a business now that's utilizing AI without giving too much away. What's that all about?
Yeah, so we utilize AI to transform the patient education experience for patients in surgical settings, but also for chronic care management. So we're using new tools, and we can talk about those later. But basically, we're only able to create our business because of AI. It would have taken 100 people, 100 hours each to do what myself and Johnny Gwynn are able to do now in just a fraction of the time.
That's amazing. And that's where there's just so many things that are going to affect us in the very near future or already affecting us. And we don't really even know it yet because people don't have to announce that this result is a result of AI. That could be things that you would never imagine have got anything to do with AI. But the point, I think, really, that you'll understand more clearly when we get done with Scott here in the next half hour is that it's pretty much infiltrating nearly everything. It doesn't have to announce itself necessarily. That's up to the company itself.
There's no mandate that says you have to let someone know when they're dealing with AI or that your decisions were made utilizing AI. At this point, you should assume that
it's playing
AI
a role.
Is being used in some capacity.
Yeah. We'll get around to that. On the text line, 251-343-0106. And you can certainly text about anything. That's not a problem. But if you do have a question or a query about artificial intelligence and, maybe you're spooked by it all a little bit, or maybe you've got a pretty good handle on things and would like to share something with us. If it's AI related, 251-343-0106 on the text line, and we'll get to some of those texts after a look at the news. We're also going to chat with Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive. All of that is on the way. Scott, hang tight.
I'll be here.
Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings. Also, Leanna in the back room, and we'll chat with her before the hour's out as well. News straight ahead.
News, weather, traffic, and sports. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Also going to talk a little cars here with Louis Arata from McConnell Automotive. Good morning, Louis.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Doing just great, man. Cloudy. You know, I think the weather's not quite as bad as we were talking about, so might as well roll on over to McConnell and see what you got cooking over there as far as cars today or Saturday.
That's right. We're going to be here all weekend, and we got a great selection of new product. I mean, those new GMCs are coming in here every day. And with all this rain, don't forget McConnell Collision Center. You can give them a call, 251-476-4141. If you have that unfortunate accident, ask for Rachel. She'll take care of all your insurance needs and everything. And come up front and say hi to us. And like I said, we got a great selection of pre-owned and new cars. You can check all the stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. if you want to see the ball games, you got to buy a car this weekend. We'll have the TVs on, so come on by and see us.
And you got a good bit of hustle over there, McConnell, because I'm checking on that on your website, and it is constantly updated because you have a new roll-in of used cars. You can find them online.
That's right. That's right. We traded in a 25 Corvette Z06 with 2,000 miles on it yesterday.
Hmm.
And
wow.
It is I won't even touch it on this wet pavement right now.
You're not allowed to touch it, Louis.
That's right, I'm not.
Thanks, Louis. Tell them again where they can find you.
We're east of I-65 on Dolphin. You can't miss us, McConnell Automotive.
Thank you, Lou. Good talking with you.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you Monday. Louis Arretta with McConnell Automotive, 837 FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings, that text line 251-343-0106. Scott Tindall, you know him from Beyond the Blockchain, program right here on FM Talk 106.5 on Tuesday evenings. And a lot to say when it comes to AI. Scott, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. This is fantastic. Something this is almost like the listener is going to get a chance to climb into a lot of our personal conversations that are not on the air, but we've been business partners in the past and loosely, and we discussed trends and businesses, and now you really can't get around. AI is the cow in the road. It's not going anywhere. It's just going to be part of nearly anything and everything that we confront going forward.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the way the internet has infiltrated our lives, you can't really get much done without the internet anymore.
True.
Right. AI is going to be that, but to a much larger degree on the ability of it to impact your day-to-day life.
So for somebody that is listening right now, they're just, let's just boil it down to the foundation. How do you explain exactly what AI is?
All right, so AI is just a pattern recognition formula. But it can do it at a scale that's unimaginable. So imagine the smartest person you know in any given field. It's that smart.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the smartest person in every single field imaginable. Okay?
Yeah.
So you're talking to a rocket scientist, they know everything about rocket science, but they probably don't know much about carpentry.
Yeah.
Right? AI knows everything. So think about it as the smartest person.
It was fed all of this.
It's been trained on all of this data, and it can give you an idea. We've now created a technology where we can fit an entire encyclopedia inside of one JPEG, and the AI can read that entire encyclopedia in a matter of seconds, right? So it's just going through so much information at once. So when we think we use this term called AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, we think we'll meet it next year. And this is another important point. 3 years ago, we thought it would be 2030 before we got there. Now we're going to get there in 2026.
So everything's accelerating.
Everything's accelerating at a rate we've never seen. I mean, I know people on the show understand compound interest and how compounding interest is one of the most strongest fields, you know, in finance.
Right.
This is millions of times stronger than that level of compounding across every single imaginable part of your life.
So as you talk to people about, maybe not necessarily about AI may come up in a conversation. You have a lot of conversations with a lot of people about a lot of things. But from the smartest people out there to maybe the person who's least educated on this trend, what is the misconception about AI? What are some of the misconceptions that people have? Even the people that in your world that you think are pretty bright, but they just don't quite get what?
Most people think that AI is a Google replacement. They're using AI the same way they use Google.
Yeah.
What is the best recipe for this?
Yeah.
How do I that? Who leads the major leagues in stolen bases?
And it can do that for you.
And it can do all of that, and it can do it very well because Google has to rely on somebody having already created a website to find that information. AI goes out and creates all the information based on those things. And somebody's going to say, oh, AI hallucinates. So do humans. Humans get things wrong all the time.
Mm-hmm.
These things are not perfect, but they're a whole lot better than the raw human brain. The other misconception—
It's like when people go crazy when a self-driving car pulls in the wrong parking lot or does donuts accidentally or whatever, but the rate of that happening with no one behind the wheel is actually much lower than with someone behind the wheel.
So we got some recent data out from both Waymo and Tesla. And for every million miles driven, full self-driving reduces accidents by 92%.
Wow.
All right.
Now, so that's, I was not aware of that number.
92%. Okay. We have 400,000 fatalities a year in America in car crashes. All right. Now, we can eliminate 92% of those once we're all full self-driving. Hmm. And somebody's going to say, well, I'm never going to give up driving my own car. And the answer is, you may not have to, but you're going to pay a premium to do so. Because when your car insurance is based on your accident rates, and they tell you there's a 92% reduction if you don't drive yourself, so then they may say, all right, it's going to cost $10 a month for you to insure this car on full self-driving, and it's going to cost $4,500 a month if you want to drive yourself.
Hmm.
So then people will be able to make the decision for themselves if they're going to keep driving their cars. But, you know, and we don't really have time to get into this today, but I'd love to get into why building the bridge is a colossal mistake in this community.
The Bayway.
Just a massive mistake. It's going to take 10 to 12 years at best. It's going to cost north of $9 to $10 billion by the time we're done. It's going to cost 10 to 12 years worth of traffic nightmare during the summers. And when we're all done, the problem will have already been eliminated by full self-driving.
I was wondering about that. So, also, when it comes to AI, there's been something. Well, okay, I remember when the computers hit the workplace, and a lot of people balked. Not the older workforce, you know, Salesforce and things were like, there were people that, like, I know how to sell radio. I've been doing it all my life. Don't bog me down with emails and all this kind of stuff. And they really just rejected it all. That's, we're just talking about at the very beginning of computers in the workplace and email obligations to return an email and that kind of thing. And at that time, also automation, I guess even before that, automation was a big part of our industry, radio. There's a misconception out there that, well, AI's been around because our job or our workplace has been automated for a long time. But there's a big gap in between automation and AI.
Yeah, automation and AI work together. They're in the same field, but they're not the same thing. I mean, we've had various forms of automation since Henry Ford invented the assembly line. Right. So what we're doing now, though, is we're able to automate things at a rate we never could before. There's a big stat that people like to cite. It came out a couple months ago. They said Fortune 500 companies that have adopted AI, 92% of them have not seen a return on their investment. And the answer to that is it's almost.
Say that one more time.
92% of Fortune 500 companies say that they have not seen a return on their investment from the AI products they're using. And when you dive deeper into that, almost all of that is related to workflow.
It's the misuse of AI.
Yeah, it's just not being incorporated into. They're not changing the way they do things. They're trying to make AI work alongside of them with how they've always done it.
Right.
All right. So I'll give you an example. Let's take the radio station in 1993. Okay, and we put one computer in the office. The boss gets a computer, and somebody down the hall gets a computer. And we say, we're going to make email mandatory. Well, you're not going to have a very good success rate if you don't have the equipment deployed and people can't answer their emails.
Mm-hmm.
Are we all going to go sit around one terminal to go look at our email and figure out who we need to respond to? Of course not. The internet works inside the office when it's deployed appropriately. AI is the same way.
It's got to be integrated into the workforce and into the principles of doing your job.
And if you don't...
Correctly.
And if you don't integrate AI correctly, you may be fine for a little while, and you better be exceptional at customer service and keeping your people around, because the people who are using AI are going to be able to reduce their cost, and you're going to get beat out on cost as much as anything, right? So let's use...
So again, the marketplace is going to determine it. You're like, look, I'm okay with doing it this way.
Yeah.
But once the marketplace determines that, no, you're way more expensive than you need to be because of the poor integration of AI.
Yeah, let's use roofing as an example, right? Let's say you're going to charge somebody $20,000 to do their roof, and it's going to take you 5 days, and you've got a crew of 10 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what you'd say, this is what I need to be able to afford to do this job. And maybe the shingles cost, if there's a roofer out there, I'm just guessing math. I'm making it up. Let's say the shingles cost $5,000 out of the $20,000, the materials. Well, you're going to bid $20,000. in the beginning, somebody's going to be using AI to be able to bid better. They're just going to be able to figure out exactly how much they need, exactly how many man hours, and that's going to be in the beginning. But within the next 5 years, what you're going to see, and these robots already exist, there's robots that will carry the shingles from the ground up to the roof, deploy all the shingles for you using AI, and will roof the entire house. So now this roofing contractor who did have 10 guys on a crew and would take 5 days for $20,000, now he can turn around, charge you $10,000, get it done in 3 days with this robot. Still, he's making $5,000 in profit, but he didn't have to pay anybody to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to hire people to use robots that do my roof. You will if it's half price.
Yeah, of course. That's a great example because I'm going to go in the opposite direction now. So the robot use and then AI to robotics, we can talk about that. But that's coming in a big way.
It's here in China already.
Okay. Yeah. And so that's an example where it's right in front of you. You can't miss it. Robots are doing the work on that house.
Mm-hmm.
Where are some of the places that AI is working or is involved with our lives we don't even know? Like AI and bank credit.
Yeah, so that's a great example. People think your credit is based solely on your FICO score. And that's traditionally been true.
Sure, it's been true forever.
Now what these companies are doing is they're including AI data into their decision-making. I'll give you an example of an article I read. It was a plumber who was applying to buy a new truck for his plumbing company.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an 800 credit score, and he was denied the loan because the AI results came back and said there were not enough bank transactions going through that account. Even though so what this plumber was doing was he was doing a lot of cash work.
Right.
And so the AI said, you don't have enough transactions going through your account. We're declining it.
So we don't think that you're not doing a brisk enough business to justify us loaning you this money. All right.
All right. Now you take another example to another extreme, and they have so much data on us. We've always known they were collecting data, but there was no way to sort through it.
Right.
Now the AI can filter through all the data.
Now the data now is actually a lot more explosive dynamite than it was in the past.
Yeah, so another example with car insurance. Here's an example of car insurance of someone having their premium tripled when they got their quote renewal.
Hmm.
And it was entirely based on the fact that their credit card was run at a bar every afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Wow.
So it said, we know you go to the bar every afternoon at 4 o'clock.
We're not.
You're increased risk for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's taking the data that you use. Now, I'll give you another example of AI around you all the time.
A little bit. It's like you're being overseen.
You're 100% overseen.
But the fact is that you handing your credit card to that bartender, you've done it yourself.
You made the choice.
Yeah.
Right? So another place that it's in front of you all the time, we talk about ICE, right? I'm sure y'all talk about ICE and mm-hmm. immigration on the show all the time. Right now, there's a company called Flock that has these, they call them public safety cameras. But really they're AI-enabled cameras that Palantir technology is used on to identify you, right? So at every Lowe's around the country right now, Flock cameras are being deployed that will do AI recognition on every single person that enters the parking lot.
Really?
And it will run through the database and it will be able to notify ICE as soon as if there's somebody that we know is an illegal alien, it will notify them that they have pulled into Lowe's. That's just the pilot.
Wow. We're
just starting with Lowe's, all right? Well, what's also interesting is this technology is being deployed all around the country. And in China right now, people don't understand how advanced the technology is. In China, you use your palm to pay for almost everything.
Really?
You just hover your palm above a keypad, and it reads your palm. Well, what they can also do is if you jaywalk when you're leaving that grocery store, they'll just go ahead and fine you and take it off your account without you having anything to do with it. If you don't show up for work, fine you. Take it out of your money.
Wow.
If you post the wrong thing on social media, take the money out of your account. In the UK, there was something like 80,000 people that had been arrested for their social media post. So you're being watched. The question is, as an individual, what do you do about it? On the macro level, very little you can do to change anything.
Sure.
On the micro level, it's all about figuring out how to be AI resilient.
Yeah.
You want to be the person in your business that is AI forward. That when the company is trying to decide how are we going to integrate this AI technology, they go, oh, let's go ask Dan. Because Dan knows what he's he knows more about AI than anybody else in the building. You don't have to know more than everybody. You just need to know more than the other people in the building.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I would say is, if your company has an AI tool that they're asking you to use, try using it. Start using it. Start practicing it. I saw a company the other day. They had to have a 10% reduction in workforce. So what did they do? They looked at the list. 9% of the people in their company had never logged into the AI tool.
They're out.
They're the first ones out.
Wow. Next time we talk, it'll be AI in healthcare and how I had historic sniffle yesterday because I never have that anything like that. And how AI is going to help me live to be 150.
That's right.
Can we talk about that?
Amen.
Okay. Next time in. Thanks, Scott.
Always happy to be here.
Going to chat with Leanna on the way. She had a heartbreaking loss this week, and we'll let her express her thoughts about Daisy. It's coming up, 8:52.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Dan and Dalton, Dan and Leanna right now. Mobile Mornings, 8:57.
Good morning.
Well, you had good morning, Leanna. You had quite an intuition a couple of days ago, and I'm so glad that you did.
Yeah. I was in the middle of running the Jeff Poor Show, and when I left my dog the other morning, Daisy, I knew she wasn't feeling well, so I went home to check on her, and I took her to the vet that afternoon. I had lunch with her, and we sat out in the sun. But after being by my side for 15 years, I lost her. The people at Theodore Veterinarians are wonderful. They made the whole process so much easier and very comforting. I had friends that worked there, but she was wonderful. She was a family.
She was our mascot. She was our mascot.
She loved it here. She lived through so much. She traveled all over the place with me and my husband, who loved her to death when he met her. It was love at first sight. And love your animals. They're not here long enough, and she will forever live in my heart.
Well, she'll live in ours too, and so I'm so glad you got a chance to get Daisy and the people again at Theodore Animal Clinic.
Yes.
Thank you for your work, and thank you for your compassion and kindness to our coworker. It's 8:59. Jeff Poor Show is on the way.